Welcome to The Spotter, a weekly podcast dedicated to the everyday challenges facing today's ministry leaders. It is necessary to stay close to someone who will challenge you to grow, do more, reach higher, and dream bigger. You should never allow yourself to be the strongest person in the room. You need a spotter. Here's your host, Jeff Wolf.
Well, let's get right into the word today. There's a phrase that we've been hearing around the nation for several months now that has begun to define how we go about our daily lives. In case you haven't heard, we've had a pandemic. If I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. We are told we have to adjust to a, come on, say it with me, new normal. Maybe you feel like I do. I don't like the thought of a new normal. I like routines. I like predictable. I like what I can count on to be unchanged in my life to a certain extent. The idea of having to learn a new system of living does not appeal to me in the least. I'm told that's a sign I'm getting older. But I realize that not everyone's normal is as good as mine, as content as mine, or even as blessed as mine. For some, normal is poverty. For some, normal is hunger. For some, normal is oppression. For some, normal is despair. For some, normal is disease and pain. For those whose normal is just fighting to survive another day, they hope for a new normal. The wonderful thing about Jesus is that nothing he ever did or does was or is normal. Most kings were born in a palace, but Jesus was born in a stable. Most kings were the lineage of royalty, but Jesus was just a carpenter's son. Most kings possess earthly riches, but Jesus had no place to lay his head. Nothing Jesus said was ever normal. He said, if you want to be great, be a servant. If you want to be first, be last. If you want to have wealth, give everything you have. Nothing about Jesus or his kingdom was or is or ever will be normal. Jesus was always drawn to abnormal people. I want to share with you one of those stories. It's found in Luke chapter 13. Verses 10 through 17. Now I'm going to use the NIV, and I want to share this with you, read it with you. Beginning in verse 10, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrite! Don't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. I grew up in church. I remember when I was a teenager in the late 80s going to revival services. In those days, revivals often went for several weeks, and evangelists, when I was a teenager, were scary. Back then, an evangelist would call you out. I remember one particular evangelist by the name of Ed Hollingsworth. He was a fiery preacher who had the ability to look right through you. I was convinced that if you had sin in your life, Brother Hollingsworth could see it, and you didn't dare make eye contact with him. I would go to church, sit with my friends in the back, and just pray that Brother Hollingsworth didn't call me out. Because if he did, you were going to the altar whether you wanted to or not. And you were going to repent whether you needed to or not. Now, I have had great respect for Ed Hollingsworth. When I grew up and became an evangelist, I went to his church and held revivals as well. He's gone home to be with the Lord. All fun aside, he made an impact on my young life. I tell you that story because it reminds me of the way Jesus seemed to always identify those in the crowd who didn't seem to fit in, or maybe didn't want to be noticed. Jesus had the ability to see past all those who wanted to be seen, to take notice of the one who needed to be seen. That's what's happening in Luke 13 as I see it. The passage tells us the story of a woman who has been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. It was the Sabbath day. Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, and this woman was present. She was one of those persons I spoke of just a moment ago, whose normal is full of difficulty. She was bent over and couldn't straighten up at all. She must have had difficulty walking, difficulty sitting, difficulty carrying water from the well, difficulty going about her daily life. I cannot imagine anything about her life was easy. The scripture doesn't tell us her age, but it gives us a number that seems more pertinent to the story. She had suffered this infirmity for 18 years. Think about that number for a moment. It's the period of time between when you are born and when you are considered an adult. It's the period of time you have as a parent to equip your children with the necessary tools to be successful in life. Think back to 2002, 18 years ago. Think about where you were, what you were doing, the significant events that have happened in the last 18 years. Now imagine spending all that time bent over, unable to stand up, bound with an infirmity. 18 years, this unnamed woman in Scripture had been crippled by a spirit. The original Greek word is pneuma. It means wind or breath. She had been having a spirit of Satan breathing on her, causing her to be bent over for 18 years. A study of biblical numerology shows us that the number is significant because it represents bondage. Judges chapter 3, verses 12 and 14 tells us that Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and were therefore subject to Eglon, the king of Moab, for 18 years. This was 18 years of bondage that this woman was never going to get back. But for her, it had become her normal. What seems like a miserable existence for you was normal for her. What you think must have been humiliating was normal for her. What you can't imagine coping with was just another normal day for her. Maybe you can identify with this bent over woman, not in the sense that you share her physical infirmity, but that you feel like the devil has been breathing on you, oppressing you for so long that it has defined what is now your normal. You've been living with your brokenness, living with your betrayal, living with your abuse, living with your depression, living with your baggage, living with your issues for so long that they have become routine. Do you realize that when something has become your normal, it's because you have accepted it? When something becomes your normal, you have conformed to a new standard. You've accepted that you will always be a failure. You've accepted that you're always going to struggle. You've accepted that you're always going to be in pain. Whatever has you bent over, you've accepted that it will always be that way. It is what it is. You've accepted it. People have given you advice, but it goes right by you because you've accepted it. People have said, I'm praying for you, but you just smile and say thank you without giving it another thought because you've already accepted it. You won't let people love you because you've already accepted it. You won't take care of yourself because you've already accepted it. You don't trust people anymore because you've already accepted it. You've accepted your new normal. You've conformed to a lower standard than what God has promised you, but you can't see it because you're bent over. See, the difference between you and this woman is that everybody can see her bondage. If I was preaching to you in person, this is where I would pause to let that sink in for a moment. What if everyone around you could see your bondage? That very thought probably makes you want to slide down in your easy chair right now. You've accepted it, but you don't want anybody to see it. That's why you still put on your proverbial mask and greet everybody with a smile and tell them you're doing fine because you don't want anybody to see that you're struggling. Why? Because your normal doesn't really faze you anymore. But if someone else got a look at your normal, it would shock them. They might shy away from you or think differently of you. Maybe they would try to fix you. No, we don't want anybody to see what we have accepted as normal. It's amazing what people will live with just because they've become comfortable with it. From an outside perspective, one might have looked upon this bent over woman and said, what a waste. 18 years of her life has been wasted. Oh, but I can hear her say, wait a minute. Don't call the 18 years I've spent in this bent over position a waste of time. You don't know what the Lord taught me during those 18 years. In the middle of my infirmity, I learned how to survive. Can anybody identify with that? I've learned what I was capable of. I've learned what I was made of. I've learned that there were some things on the inside of me that I didn't know were there. I learned how to do some things that I may not have ever learned to do otherwise. I had to learn how to adapt. I had to learn a new way to carry my water pot from the well every day. I had to learn a new way of walking. Don't call it a waste, because even though I was bent over, God was teaching me how to survive a storm. He wasn't allowing my experience to be wasted. My infirmity taught me that every day was a new day, and that even when I'm bent over, I can still survive. Even bent over, I can still function. Even bent over, I can still get up on the Sabbath and come to the synagogue to worship. I'm bent over, but it hasn't held me back. I'm bent over, but it hasn't kept me shut up in the house. I'm bent over, but I'm still here. I just want to take a moment and identify with this woman. I can identify with her condition. I'm bent over by disappointment and bent over by failure and bent over by despair and bent over by fear and bent over by circumstance and bent over by tragedy and bent over and unable to straighten up on my own because of the weight on my back. But it isn't a waste, because it was when I was bent over that I learned how to get a hold of God. It was when I was bent over that my faith grew. It was when I was bent over that I found out how faithful God is. It was when I was bent over that He showed Himself to me as a friend that sticks closer than a brother. It was when I was bent over that He revealed Himself to me. I was bent over when He gave me purpose. I was bent over when He planted a seed of a plan on the inside of me. I was bent over when He gave me dreams and visions. He's never wasted an experience, because everything He placed on the inside of me, He did it when I was bent over. If I had never been bound, I wouldn't know Him as a deliverer. If I had never been sick, I wouldn't know him as a healer. If I had never been depressed, I wouldn't know him as a comforter. For every moment that I spent bent over, God was preserving me. He was keeping me. He was holding me in the palm of his hand. He was protecting me and shielding me, getting me ready for my new normal. Little did this woman know that on this Sabbath day, her normal was going to change. Little did she know that on this Sabbath day, her perspective would be lifted. I can imagine her sitting in the synagogue like any other Sabbath day, perhaps hoping not to be noticed. But Jesus looked beyond all of the religious folks and took notice of the woman who needed to be seen, and spoke a word to her that would forever change her normal. Then he called her forward. I remember being that teenager called forward out of the crowd by evangelist Ed Hollingsworth. I remember walking down the aisle of the church, wondering if the man of God could see in my mind, wondering what he was going to say to me, self-conscious of my own deficiencies, nervous and uncomfortable. That must have been how this woman felt. Why is he calling me out? What is he going to say? Why would he ask me to come forward? Doesn't he know that I don't walk as others walk? Doesn't he know that I don't see as others see? When you are yet bent over is when it always seems God calls you out. Why does he do that? Because he uses imperfect people. God called this woman forward before he spoke the words of healing over her. He said, "Woman, you are free from your infirmity." But notice that's not when she straightened up. She didn't straighten up until Jesus reached out and touched her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. It's not that the words of Jesus were not powerful enough to straighten her up, so that then he had to follow it up with a touch. But I believe though his word spoke the healing and the freedom into existence, the touch was to remind her that he had just given her a new normal. Psychologists say that it takes 21 days to form a habit and 66 days for something to become automatic. Being bent over had been automatic for 18 years. When Jesus spoke her freedom, though she was immediately able to stand, I believe she was so programmed to be bent over that Jesus had to touch her to remind her to stand up. I believe the touch was specific. Maybe he touched her chin so to get her to raise her head. Maybe he took her by the shoulders and physically lifted her up, showing her that she was healed. The touch of Jesus was to break the automatic and monotonous and to show her what her new normal looked like. It's not that people don't want to be free. It's not that they don't believe God is able to deliver. But it's that their bondage has become so normal that it's automatic. This woman has to learn a new way to walk. She has to learn a new way to function. She's not going to be in pain anymore, and she's not going to be bent over anymore. In fact, this miracle has changed her appearance. Up till now, this woman has been recognized by her infirmity. Now people are going to see her at the synagogue next Sunday and say, "Who in the world is this? I've never seen this person before." I am sick and tired of people identifying me by my infirmity. When God sent me free, I cannot any longer allow people to continue to identify me by my infirmity. And whatever you do, don't look to people to affirm your deliverance. You think people are nasty now? After watching this miracle, the religious folks stood up in the synagogue and they said, "There are 6 days to work. Come back on one of those days to be healed." There's no place for that kind of nastiness in the body of Christ. My Lord, I don't want to take a fork in the road here. I've got to stay on point. I'm almost done. tell somebody, don't be nasty. You see, the problem with religious people is that they think, number one, it's work for Jesus to touch me. And number two, it's work that gets me touched. I don't have to work at it in order to be changed, and God doesn't have to work at it in order to change me. My transformation, my deliverance, my healing is in no way connected or related to anything that can be done under my own power. The only requirement for God to give me a new normal is for me to receive. I've come to ask you a question, the answer to which will change your life from this day forward. Are you ready for a new normal? Are you tired of being bent over? Are you tired of conforming to a standard that is below what God has promised you? Are you ready to turn the page and begin a new chapter in your life? Get ready for your new normal. I want to pray with you today. I want to ask the Lord to do for you what He did for this woman in Luke 13. I want to ask Him to use you to be a light to those around you and put into service everything He taught you while you were bent over. Your new normal does not consist of routines, coping mechanisms, or acceptance of what has been. Your new normal will require you to see differently, to walk differently, to talk differently, to think differently. I pray that there will be such a change in your life that it manifests on your countenance and that people can visibly see on your face the change in your life. Let me pray with you today, would you? Father, I am so thankful for the opportunity you've given me to speak into the hearts of your people. Lord, I pray that you will take this word that you have planted in my heart and delivered through my vessel to touch your people at the very point of their need. Lord, there are people that are watching right now that have been bent over by the breath of the devil, bent over by things in their life that they've been unable up till now to get free from. But Lord, just as you touched the woman who was bent over, I pray that the touch of your mighty right hand will come upon every person who watches this word today, that you will grant them a miracle, that we will receive a new normal, that being healed is normal, being whole is now normal, being full of the joy of the Lord is now normal, walking in peace is now normal, and walking in victory is our new normal. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your touch today. In Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Subscribe to The Spotter on any major podcast provider. Visit us at jeffwolf.org for more information and follow Jeff Wolf on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. To receive a copy of Jeff's newest project, absolutely free, 10 Reasons Why Pastors Are in Danger, text the word RESTORED to 31996. Message and data rates may apply. Remember to join us next week. Be blessed.